Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to The Prototype, only here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I am one of your many hosts for this July episode of The Prototype. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net, but I'm not alone as we decide what we're going to talk about today. I'm joined with
Mr. Christopher.
Alex trying not to burp.
And we are going to catch you up on our summer gaming challenge, but also talk to you about a general discussion point that's been kind of coming up in our groups, because Alex has pointed out to me on several occasions, Mike, are you just not in the gaming right now? Like, what is going on?
I believe my exact words were, Mike, do you just suck at games now?
Yeah, it's like,
like, are you sure it's not just like you are being terrible and now you hate things because you don't want to try things that are new?
I don't know. It's funny because this all came out of the gaming challenge, because we on Twig, I wouldn't say we have a slower production schedule in the summer, but it seems pretty consistent.
It seems actually higher.
Yeah, it seems higher for some weird reason.
We're having a lot of new projects.
Well, what it is we're not doing things regularly multiple times per week, but when we get together, it's large bursts of things all at once.
Yeah, so the idea behind the gaming challenge, which I guess we'll give you the update, is Alex challenged me at the beginning of June, here, I want you to play through the three Dragon Age games, get to know the lore, see if you like it, and try something new. It's BioWare, you should love this. It's the same people who made Mass Effect, Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire, etc., etc. You should dig it. And Alex sat me down, and we played through a quarter, not even, of the first Dragon Age. We played for about 6 to 8 hours.
We played about 10%.
10%. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I fucking hate this.
He was scowly-faced the whole time, and he's just like, I'm an old man, and I don't like things that don't look like I want them to look.
And I don't know. I tried to get into it. Now, I will admit, the lore for Dragon Age is actually really fucking interesting. It's basically, like, it's high fantasy D&D type crap, but I like the world.
It's got a Game of Thrones-esque politics vibe, but not very heavily with it.
Yeah, because I haven't seen that yet.
It has enough, and at the same time, it also has a lot of unique features to the world that aren't in a lot of other fantasy worlds, that at least not in most of the things I've read or seen.
Yeah, like when Alex showed me this and we saw the world of the Grey Wardens fighting against the Blight and telling me about the Templars, the Magi, and all these other terms I'm going to just kind of throw at you. And I was like, okay, I'm interested in the world, but I hate the gameplay. Holy shit, do I hate the gameplay.
So my solution was, let's watch one of those recap things, videos on YouTube about all this, not all the cinematics, because that would have been about 3 or 4 hours of everything for every angle, but let's watch a recap of somebody's playthrough, and I can fill in the blanks of what the other choices could have been, because I've played through the game 3 times total with about 200 hours put in, including all the playthroughs. And we went through that. He's like, I like the story, hate the game. I'm like, I understand. After playing it again, it was sort of a nostalgic feel for me, because I played it 10 years ago when it came out, and it wasn't the newest system even then. It was just a logical evolution of like a Neverwinter Nights game or a Baldur's Gate.
And you can definitely see the influences of what eventually would become Mass Effect.
Yeah, because I think it came out either the same year or maybe right after, but I know they were being developed concurrently, so it was 2 teams that worked on them.
So Alex sat me down, we watched the videos, and he started me into the third game, Dragon Age Inquisition, on the Xbox One.
Second game, I told him not even to bother, we're just going to watch the videos, because that was the game I liked the least, so.
And I've put maybe 2 or 3 hours into it so far. I'm going to try going at it again. Then Alex has suggested to me, okay, we'll scrap the Dragon Age games except for Inquisition, because it is modern gaming, and we're going to try the Deus Ex games, which is a little more cyberpunky, a little more shooty, rooty, tooty.
Basically, a little less RPG-heavy, which is... I don't know if it's that you didn't like the RPG. You said you didn't like the fighting mechanics of those other games.
Yeah.
And Inquisition has a very intuitive fighting system. It's just, I think you're used to almost always playing a first-person shooter game.
Yeah, and I kind of start to wonder that, because I was playing Deus Ex.
Because, like, the RPGs you play, Fallout, Skyrim, they're all the first-person games that I personally hate.
Yeah. Whereas I really, really, really enjoy. And I was playing Deus Ex, and I'm pressing my left trigger, and I'm going in the cover. I'm like, why am I not shouldering up to my sights? no, I have to press down. And I want to say that's like, not like Gears of War, because Gears of War, I know you can snap aim too, but I'm not used to it yet. So I guess I just got to get used to it.
I think I saw you running and gunning a fair bit at the beginning before you even got your gear, essentially. In the first level, you're supposed to be very weak. You're supposed to realize that it's not a run and gun game. It's a tactical shooter RPG.
So sort of like if Metal Gear had an RPG.
Very similar. You're supposed to use cover a lot more, at least at the beginning. Once you start powering yourself up, you can become a run-and-gun guy, depending on how you power up your stuff. But at the very beginning, you're a normal human that has, you don't even have a HUD. You only know that you're dying by like taking two or three hits and you're dead. Once you get through that first mission and you start with you get your HUD and everything, you get your powers, you can start to...
Spec out
and act differently. You can be a full run-and-gunner. You can be full stealth. Or whatever, or something in between.
Yeah, I intend to go through that game like fucking RoboCop.
Yeah, then you're going to want to play like I played, which was putting everything into your attacks.
Yeah, like that's just how I play games. And while I do enjoy a good tactical stealth game like Hitman, Metal Gear, and Splinter Cell, I don't know, I kind of wish I hadn't played the Splinter Cell games, because if you told me to play Splinter Cell, I'd be so much happier.
But here's the thing, you haven't gotten very far.
I want to try something new.
Yeah, and that's the point, is I think you're not hung up, but you're having a hard time going outside of your wheelhouse and trying something different. And I don't know if it's a thing where you only want to play a certain sameness in a game, because when we went back, we're like, what games have you played in the last 7 months that you liked that were different than what you're used to?
Detroit and Hitman were the only two games I've really dug.
And Hitman is something you've already played before.
Yeah, because I hated Hitman the first time I played it when it came out in 2016.
And Detroit, the same thing. It's similar to the Quantum Breaks game that you played.
Yeah.
So, again, it's not very different from what you're used to. But even like God of War, you weren't a big fan of. Now, there's technical complications with that as far as the text goes, but you just didn't like the combat, and yet it was a universally praised game.
Yeah.
So was the Dragon Age title. So I was wondering, like, maybe you just haven't realized that as you've grown up, you just don't like a certain style of game at all.
Yeah, like, a friend of mine had suggested in one of my Discord servers that I'm a part of, he said, maybe your tastes have just changed.
I can definitely see that being a thing. When I was a kid, platformers were pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Platformers were one of the most common types of games back then because it was just easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you know, you got your Mario games, your Crash Bandicoot, your Spyro the Dragon. And I enjoyed those games a lot when I was a kid. But just a year ago, I tried out the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, and I hated it.
Same.
I thought it was, you know, it was well made for what it was, but I hated it. And a lot of it was because I was just terrible. And all of a sudden, like, I'm not enjoying that genre anymore.
I think it's...
Because I just don't...
Platformers have gotten easier. I think that's the thing, too. Like, I was able to play Mario Galaxy on easy mode because... Or not Mario Galaxy, Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
On easy mode because I'm at a point now in my life where I don't necessarily want a hard game. Like, hard games are for people that only play one or two games a year and they want to just keep playing it. Or for kids. You're at a point, when you're in your 30s or older, you don't have the time to put, like, when I play an RPG or even, like, a Deus Ex, you're playing it on normal.
Yeah.
I put it on easy. I always do my first playthrough on the easiest mode possible because I want to get through in relatively, you know, I don't want to die more than maybe two or three times at any given level. And I want to get through the game in about 40 hours. I don't need to pay 100 hours unless it's like a Dragon Age where I wanted to complete everything. And... we don't have the time, especially if we're doing a lot of reviews now and stuff, we don't have the time to put 100 hours into most games. Or even, like you might only have, depending on your work schedule, you might only have 2 hours a night where you can really relax and spend doing it. You don't want to spend it on the same level dying over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. It's exhausting, and you don't end up with any enjoyment out of your play experience at that point.
Christian brings up an interesting point. Like, we recently on Twig, we reviewed the Sonic... the Genesis Ultimate Collection or the Genesis Classics or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's mostly platformers.
It's platformers, side-scrolling beat-em-ups, which are the easiest ones to play.
And a couple of RPGs.
Yeah, and some RPGs, which, again, I'm not putting 80 hours in, but I like that it's there to do it.
I'm playing it, and I'm playing Sonic 2. I used to be able to play Sonic 2 in my sleep. That's how good I got. I can't beat it anymore.
And
like my reflexes are gone. Yet you ask me to play COD, I can twitch with the best.
And I don't think it's a controller issue. The controllers are more responsive now than they've ever been.
And there is no input lag.
And that's a game that only used really one button.
Yeah, just jump.
Yeah, so And I think it's a testament to Nintendo, because I can go back and play Mario 3 or Super Mario World specifically, and it can be 4 or 5 years between plays and play it just as well as I always have, because of just something about how the Mario games have always felt. Like, they've had such good...
They were really well designed.
Since the third game specifically. Like, since Mario 3, they've had such precise and gameplay. It's not like I played them any more than other platformers. Mm-hmm. They just always had that right balance of certain really hard levels. If you couldn't beat it, there was usually another alternate route you could go to beat something a little easier. And I think, for the most part, Nintendo has, platformer-wise, the best playtesting. The absolute best bug fix. Like, there's never anything that you feel punished for playing it.
Yeah, you whereas, don't feel like you died because of cheap, something whereas, cheap, something that you, could, yeah, you couldn't prevent.
Everything else out there, like, I've got Yooka-Laylee to play, but I've not really put... I was really excited, but I haven't... Platformers haven't pulled me in, with the exception of Mario, in the last 5 years.
There was one game I was kind of curious. I saw it as a hidden gems on GameSack probably about a week ago. And it's called that Super Lucky's Tale, which is the Xbox One exclusive.
That I did play, and I think it's part of the Game Pass right now.
I think so.
That I played the first couple levels. They say it's really easy. Well, it's really easy unless you want to collect everything.
Or Rayman Legends, I really want to get into, because of the music level.
Yeah, and I just find that every time I want to play a platformer, I'm pulled into something else. Now, I am sort of the resident RPG guy, so I've been playing... When I get reviews for RPGs to review, it's going to take me 30 to 80 hours to beat each one.
I can't sit through a game of that unless it's Skyrim or Fallout, or even Mass Effect.
I played Shining Resonance Refrain. I was playing that until Octopath Traveler came out. I still put in about 40 hours, and that was a really good game. And the battle system, it got to the point where I'm not a grindy person where I like long, like, grindy battles, especially when they're turn-based. This was an action sort of, like, Tales game system. And it got to the point where I could get into battle and beat somebody in, like... I could beat a whole fight in about 10, 15 seconds. And all the enemies in the game you see on the map, so you can run and avoid them if you want to. So I find that I don't have a problem grinding if it's very quick. Yeah, so I can get through those. Or even, like, I played Octopath Traveler, which we did not get for review, but I got it for myself because I fucking wanted that game since day one. And I found that I could grind in that game and not be bored, where... A lot of other games out there, I will. So it's all about finding the right balance when they design a game. You know, and I put 58 hours into that game, yet I can't sometimes find myself, throwing myself to play, you know, a platformer for 10 minutes sometimes anymore.
Yeah, sinking time into games. The only game I'm able to sink more than, say, 20 to 30 hours in is World of Warcraft.
I do not get how you do that.
I don't really understand it either. It's now to the point of almost addiction, and I'm so used to it, it's where I go to completely unwind. And because of that, I can't spend the same amount of time playing other games, playing new games, playing things outside that bubble that I've created for myself.
It's probably a force of habit because it's been part of your life for 15 years.
Yeah. And that's a lot of what it is. There were times in my life where I was, during college, I didn't have any other responsibilities, didn't have a job at the time. And I would wake up, play for 16 hours straight.
Jesus.
I'd get up and move around, make food for myself. I didn't end up in any other unhealthy habits at the time. But 16-hour play sessions.
No, you had a slot bucket.
I did the whole Cartman thing. Mom!
Bathroom! Oh, what a big boy.
But... I've toned it way back since then. I actually put a proper amount of time into gaming in a given day, but I don't feel that same level of comfort that I built because of how much time I have put into World of Warcraft. It's just, it's
what
my
you,
other life.
What are you going to do when the game ends?
I don't know, but I don't know how the game or when the game is going to end. They have content planned for such a long time.
When it
and
finally becomes unprofitable.
It's not when it becomes unprofitable. It becomes when shareholders say we need something bigger.
Yeah, when they say we need WoW 2 because something.
Because we want a 30% boost to our stock. We want you to announce it.
There's such a strong player base that's there, and they have so much invested into the characters they've made over the years that saying, okay, WoW 2 is coming out, unless there's a way for you to import your characters, it will flop.
They will probably do a thing where they import the characters. You just won't have the stats, but you'll have the look and everything else.
There'll have to be all the achievements because there's so much to the character.
There'll be some sort of heraldry history thing where you'll be an ancestor.
It won't be like, say, Destiny in Destiny 2 where you got to bring some of your shit over, but
no,
it wasn't really.
It'll be something
character.
Where like you can import your character and you're the next generation of that line.
Yeah.
And there'll be something to view the history of your character and you can get some of the items or at least cosmetic things from it.
I still think it'll be a challenge to do in general. There are people who are so attached to their characters. They've had that character since the game first came out.
Even,
it's older than their own children.
Jesus. Even if they canceled it right away. Like, they're like, oh, by the way, it's coming out next week or coming out in 3 months or whatever, and we're closing the game permanently. You get this outrage. Oh, no, God, what's happening? But you know what? Those people are so addicted, they won't care. They'll have to move to the new game because they won't know what to do when the game's gone.
Just trying to think. The only... I just thought of this just now. One game genre that stuck with me consistently, at least in the last 7 years... You can always count on me to play it, though I'm not playing it now due to a lack of hardware, is fighting games. I play the Killer Instincts. I play the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection. I play Injustice. But I don't have a Fight
but
Stick
they've
from
also
Xbox
been,
or PS4.
The last 2 years, they've been kind of shit.
Street Fighter V has finally gotten better because now the seasons are finally properly balanced. Killer Instinct has always been consistent.
But
the reason
new,
Dragon
new
Ball
titles,
Z one's been
Marvel
okay.
was garbage.
Oh, yeah. Marvel, Capcom, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite... Should have been in the cooker for another 6 months.
And so was Street Fighter.
Which one? Anniversary or 5?
5.
5 at launch was shit. 5
so,
now is great.
And even the anniversary, it's the same game again and again. What's going to happen is this fall, we've got not just Soul Calibur, which is going to be a big title.
Yeah.
You got Soul Calibur. You've got Blade Strangers, which was now announced on the PS4 as well as the Switch. But I still think the Switch will be the main system. That's the one from Nicalis where they pulled together several different characters from their games and other genres. I think Astro Boy's in it, or is that another game they have?
That's
anyway.
Another game, yeah.
But you've got Blade Strangers. You've got Omen of Sorrow, which is the based on, like, it's like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen type characters in a fighting game from Sidesco and somebody else. So it's going to be, but it's based on, I think, it looks to be the Street Fighter engine. You've got also in the fall, I think, as long as it's still on schedule, the Street Fighter EX series?
Yeah.
Well, that developer has made their own EX game. All the characters that they made, Capcom doesn't own. So they're making their own EX, whatever it's called, fighters. So that's coming out in the fall.
Jump Force comes out early 2019,
now,
which I'm really excited for.
And then you've got the only other big title that's already been out earlier, but it's going to be even bigger on the Switch.
Dragon Ball?
Is Dragon Ball coming out in the fall. So you've got... This is a return to form after... 2 or 3 lackluster years of fighting games. Plus, you got Smash.
Yeah, Smash coming out. I'm really looking. I already have my pre-order paid off for that.
So there's literally like 5 or 6 decent fighting games, and there's been smaller ones. Like I picked up
Skullgirls or Fire Pro Wrestling.
Fire Pro is gonna be fun. I've got that. I think we might be getting a review copy. If we do, sweet. If not, I've got plans in place to trade things in to get that because, to me, I want a wrestling game to be a arcade. Fun, almost like a fighting game.
You don't
style.
Want a simulator. You
no,
want
and I think actually was it 2K that makes the WWE game?
Yes.
They just made an announcement stating that
major overhaul
next year. This year is the same garbage. The only thing is that you see in the announcement for the Wii edition.
Yeah, I'm kind of tempted because I want the ring, but it won't fit.
It's not just the ring; it'll be a pink ring. But it's the fact that you get a piece of one of Ric Flair's robes.
That's pretty cool.
They cut it up into 1,000 pieces.
Jeez.
Or 10,000 pieces, whatever. Like you get a little square. I'm like, I already have the Hulk Hogan ring mat from WrestleMania, and I'm almost tempted to pre-order it, get the goodies, and sell the game immediately for $10 off on Kijiji, and not even play it, because the game is going to be utter shit. I don't want a simulator. If I wanted to simulate wrestling, you know what I'd do? Be a fucking wrestler, or watch WWE.
I'm not sure which is less painful at this point.
I want an arcade. Yeah, exactly. I want an arcade game like we had in the N64, and that's the closest thing to that will be the Fire Pro. So it is a big year for fighting games, and I'm not really a fighting game fan. Like I'm not going to get a copy of Smash Brothers because my roommate will, my brother will, Mike will. So there's not really a need for me to play it because I'm never going to play it single player. I'll play it when I come over. I'll bring my pro controller over and we can all play together.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's gonna be great.
As far as
fighters, we're all going to get fucked up by my Mega Man.
I would consider getting Dragon Ball Fighters. But roommate's probably getting... He sold his copy on the PS4 because he wanted the Switch copy, because I have the PS4. I leave it in the living room, but he doesn't have a PS4, but he wanted to play the game. And then when it was announced that...
It was coming for the Switch.
He traded it in right away and put it towards towards the Switch version, which he does own. So, as far as fighting games go, I picked up Pocket Fighter, that Neo Geo clone.
Yeah.
And for, because it was like... I used those coins because they were going to expire, which we're not going to get into. But I used the coins, so it ended up costing me $1.25. And it's hard but fun. So there's all these little fighters. So there's fighters games coming out. Racing games have been absolute dog shit.
My god, Crew 2, fuck that game.
Onrush was a piece of shit when I played it. You know why it was a piece of shit? There is no couch co-op. There's no multiplayer unless it's online. It is a game that is an arcade racer where you're racing on teams.
Did we review that?
Yes.
When did it come out?
About a month, two months ago.
Okay, I guess I just must have missed it.
Yeah, no, we reviewed it. I put it out on... it was on a Twitter Treasure.
Oh, okay. Huh.
It's a fun racer where you get three different types of cars, same as the Crew. You're racing, and you're basically trying to... It's like a mixture of Burnout and other arcade racers where it's not about getting first place. It's about getting the most points. So it's cool. But you know what we kept trying to find? Where's the multiplayer? And they openly said... We went to their website. They said... Codemasters goes... Unfortunately, that would cost a lot of money, so we didn't do it. Well, you just lost maybe 75% of the people that would play your arcade game. And they said that there's a big announcement coming with a new release in the fall. It's going to be some sort of leaderboard thing. It's not even going to be what people want. That game, they said, was an abysmal failure. They laid off all their employees. Well, you didn't think that people would want to play a arcade racer couch co-op style?
Yeah, although the same reason when Halo got rid of their couch co-op, I can see playing online being a problem. I myself don't mind online only because I want the big screen. But having your friends over to race together is fun.
Yeah, so I think we're moving to indie. Like, there's a couple indie titles coming out. Nicalis has one and a couple other ones where they're basically like San Francisco Rush in the 90s, but done on HD on a big screen, which with up to 4 or 6 players co-op.
There's one coming out by, I can't remember the company, but it's Nickelodeon Kart Racers.
Oh,
they're like 60 bucks. I got Ninja Turtles, so I'm into it.
So, no, but here's the thing. Like,
or SpongeBob.
It's always these indie titles. The big companies aren't putting out. Racing titles have been on a decline. You've got fighting titles that are back. You've got platformers where you've got a few really fucking good ones. But again, unless it's a Mario, I'm not being drawn in. I've owned
Sonic
Rayman
Mania,
Legends
2 or 3
times. Sonic Mania is good, but it's too hard for me. I had to have my roommate beat it for me because I wanted to see the ending because I can't get past like the 6th level. Sonic Forces, I beat that, but that was complete dog shit. There's a lack of that style. Sports games I have no interest in.
I'm tempted because this year, and I'm supposed to talk with my friend Ryan about this, Ryan from Twig, who does Mayhem Mics with Blanchard. I'm trying football this year, and I'm going to follow the Philadelphia Eagles.
If you're going to play football, don't get Madden. You know what you should try to get?
What?
Mutant League football is coming back.
See, I just want something to teach me the rules.
Well, it has the rules. It's just you can blow people up.
All right.
I don't think I've seen that sort of NFL game.
Yeah, sorry. John Madden's not going to put
and
C4
like NHL
in ball.
These games. They're all basically incremental increases. I would be more interested in playing baseball, but they don't. But here's the thing. Sony doesn't make the bigs
show?
Anymore.
No.
Which was the fun arcade-style one. You're left with RBI Baseball.
And the show.
And the show is simulator, which is cool, but again, I never understood the simulator aspect when you could just go play.
I guess it's people who want to play that fantasy baseball, fantasy football, and you do have options to do that. And like, there's a mode where you can play as the manager.
There are entire games that are manager games.
Yeah. It's weird. You can manage the entire roster and do everything.
Shooters, I'm not the biggest fan. I did like Call of Duty Ghosts, but again, you only get about 5 hours of play before you have to play multiplayer. So how I played that game was I went to my library, which lets you borrow games. I borrowed it for a week, beat it in 3 days, brought it back.
The last COD I had a fun story time with was Advanced Warfare. Multiplayer was Black Ops and Advanced Warfare. I hate World War II.
So
like, I'm just either I'm really bad at it or my reflexes are down in the shitter.
I played a little bit of Wolfenstein, and I think that's pulled me in enough, as long as I play it on easy enough mode to figure out where to go and not die immediately. I miss the games that had a good story when they were shooters, because I used to like the old Medal of Honor games. And
yeah.
Advanced Warfare, you'd probably dig then.
Yeah, and Kevin Spacey's and I think it's, a great I just bad can't guy. Justify paying full price for a game that is like 95% multiplayer that I'm not going to play.
Oh yeah, yep. Plus if you play the older CODs online now, if you play Advanced Warfare or Black Ops 3, it's all hackers.
So, like shooters again, not my thing. Side-scrolling shooters, they're all indie titles now, all the old shoot 'em ups. There's, as far as other genres, there's a lot of action games. Like, I will get to God of War, but you know what's going to happen? God of War is going to drop to $20, or they're going to throw it on the PlayStation Plus, and I'll get it for free in 6 months.
I wouldn't mind
a
getting Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm very that, curious
see,
about
that's
that.
Interesting. I had bought it, and then I bought it, and I think I traded it in towards the Switch when it was announced, and I hadn't played it yet. Because I bought it for $60 with trade credit. They had a crazy deal trading towards the Switch, and I ended up making $10 trade credit on it.
My biggest piece of advice for Horizon Zero Dawn is make sure you have a very high-definition television because the text is extremely small.
Are you sure they haven't done the thing where they increase the size on that? Because a few games have released patches now where they get double or triple text size.
They may have adjusted the UI by now, but I know when I played through on my HDTV, I could barely read it.
Because it was Deus Ex. Mike's playing the Deus Ex Human Revolution... the director's cut when they fixed it, mm-hmm. and I played it when it wasn't that, and now the difference is now they have an option for subtitle size as medium or large that was not there. So I think a lot of games retroactively have gone back over the years, and even more recent ones they put patches out for accessibility purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's funny because now that I'm handicapped, I never thought accessibility would be a big thing.
And the issue is you shouldn't have to find a way into a wheelchair and wheel up to an inch away from the screen to watch.
Yeah, like, for example, one of the games we reviewed this year, Sudden Strike 4, European Battlefields, I couldn't play it because I couldn't see what the fuck was going on.
And admittedly, apparently it has a lot of particle effects that are pretty, but it's so small.
Yeah, it looks
like,
cool.
Like, you're playing it at 1080p, so it shouldn't be that the UI is tiny. I can see if you're playing it 4K on a computer, but even then, if you're playing it on a PC, you probably would have been able to adjust your UI a lot more than you could on the Xbox, so they didn't do a very good job of adjusting
porting
that.
It over, yeah.
There should have been, like, Shadowrun. Now the games I'm playing, right, are Skyrim and Shadowrun. Skyrim, I'm having a hard time, but I'm going to get through it. Shadowrun, I installed on my laptop, and that's actually a very optimized game. I don't even need a good video card to play it. But when I'm playing it at 1080p, I go into the settings, and it just says high-res mode. You click on it, and it doubled the UI size immediately, and it was very clear and easy to read. So I think PC is a lot better at that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of easy ways to fix things like that, even if it's not built into the game.
You just go into the INI file or something.
Yeah, you can adjust that manually, or people will often put out mods for the game, even if it doesn't have native mod support. But they'll find a way around it. There's just such a more support in the community for PC. Well,
and I've seen things like I played Vampyr, and... that I had a good time with, but I played it. There was only one difficulty mode.
They're changing that now.
That's what I was going to say. Interestingly, the game sold well for them, better than they expected. So what they did was they're making two modes, a hellish difficulty, which is always out there, which usually people put in for fun. But they're putting in a story mode where the combat is a lot less. Like, instead of having any tactical thing you really have to do, you'll be able to stealth... It was hard to stealth through the game. To get the best ending, you have to kill the least amount of people, but you need to level up to beat some of the bosses. They're making it in such a way that you might not even need to feed on anybody and beat the bosses. So you'll have the choice of playing it on easy to experience the story, the best story possible. And I think that's cool. You don't have to beat the game to unlock the mode.
I'm sure the people who have earned the best ending already are all up in arms about this.
But for those people, that's where they've built that hellish difficulty mode.
I don't get the point of games being hard for the sake of being hard. I mean, once again, speaking to games I enjoy, games I don't get. Tristan, I do not get your sadistic relationship with the Souls games.
To be fair, I have only beaten one boss of Bloodborne, and I've never gone back. I want to, but every time I go, I should play Bloodborne. I go, no, I don't want to play Bloodborne.
No.
And Dark Souls 3, I've gotten halfway through and kind of stopped. I enjoy it, but it's hard to be in the right frame of mind lately to play that. It's not something I can come home and relax while playing. You don't relax.
Is it the fact that we're getting older?
No.
Or our tastes are just changing?
Alex is struggling being PC with all this, but I will find the best way I can describe it. The people that like those games, the same as the people that like Disgaea, if you remember what I said before. I feel like when they play it, it's like they just popped three or four Viagra and they're like, more. They're fervent over it.
There is a certain sense when you beat something that's that challenging. I know that it's happened to me quite a few times where you mash your face against the same boss for 4 hours and you finally kill it. Your adrenaline is just surging.
At the same time.
And there's
time,
a moment of euphoria.
You know what I have to say to them? It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. I'm sorry. But, nobody cares that you spent 7 or 8 hours to beat this thing.
A lot of people aren't broadcasting that, oh, it took me 8 hours to beat this boss.
If it has value to you, great. But I would rather... Gaming for me has become less about mastering something than it is about the experience of the story as being number one. The feeling I get, it's supposed to be something that helps me unwind, not raises my tension level.
Yeah.
Like, I get the fact to get the trophies, to maybe broadcast it on Twitch, to get that sort of achievement and that feeling, but I do not get the enjoyment that people are getting out of it. I guess it's just not my speed.
It's a thrill seeker sort of thing. It might be sadistic or whatever, but it's mostly about just trying to challenge yourself when you feel that some of the games that you're playing in a similar capacity aren't challenging enough. It doesn't Fair mean enough. It has to be hard for the sake of hard, and that's not really what Dark Souls is. It's difficult, yes, but it's trying to be difficult.
It's difficult but fair.
It always tries to be fair.
Well, it doesn't
screw you over with something that you could not have prevented. You can learn and improve as you go, and that's part of the enjoyment, is you get better. When you compare yourself after playing a Souls game for 40 hours, how you are then to how you were when you first started, you can see a visual improvement.
I think it's, for me, that because story has become paramount to the games, for me, more than it's ever been. Like, even Mario had a better story this time than it had previously.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I don't like a game that is, like I said, grindy for the sake of grinding. There's almost no story in this unless you read the little bits every, like, I shouldn't be have to seek out story or seek out why I'm playing.
Yeah.
Kind of like how in Destiny all the lore was hidden in those cards and grimoires.
I hated that.
That was bullshit.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Again, this is a game. At this point, you need to show and tell me, not seek out.
Yeah, I mean, having bits of expanded lore is neat. But if you're going to do that, I liked how they did it in Mass Effect, where you'd go to the Codex and it would read it to
you.
And
that is what, you know, Dragon Age is like. You pick up every little piece of item, but you can see everything there. And they don't do this thing where Octopath Traveler, the biggest complaint people have had, my brother didn't care for a certain aspect of it, they're all these disjointed stories. And if you don't complete each chapter for every character in the game, all eight, the fourth chapter in each one has little hints of tying things together, but you beat the game and it rolls the credits and that's it. But you can go back. There's two quests that you can do that don't take that long, maybe a half hour to do each, that lead to a secret dungeon at the end, that when you go to that dungeon, you beat eight bosses that you've already faced before. They're twice or three times as difficult. And each time you beat them, you get a page of a book that then ties all the stories together. But you're not told this. Like, you could beat the game and never know what the story ends up being.
Huh.
You have to do annoying. The secret ending. Now, if you're paying attention, you'll have done the quests anyway. But, and then you beat the secret final boss, like all Final Fantasy style games have. But, and the lore is really good. And then after you read the pages, you're like, oh, that made sense. One character had a mural on a wall in one stage that was a reference to one of the other characters' final boss battles and how they all sort of string a web together. So it works, but I don't like that's how they told the story. It should be revealed as you go, step by step. The secret ending should be, you know, you beat the final boss, you get the whole story, but here's the motivation behind it. Here's a little extra, or here's a hint at the next game, that sort of thing. It shouldn't be that the actual story is a secret until the end.
Yeah, that's a little bit annoying, and I don't agree with that at all.
Spoilers, I'm not telling you the story, but spoilers, the actual game doesn't...
Yeah, there's more story to reveal after what you think is the ending.
Literally, there's eight pages of a book you read that reveal more than the rest of the game combined.
Wow. So, I guess, where do we go from here? When it comes to gaming, how do you decide what's right for you? I guess just try everything, well, see what sticks.
And that's what I've tried to do. I mean, for what, here's what I have pre-ordered. I have Dragon Quest, is it 11?
11, yeah.
I know I'm going to like it because I've liked other Dragon Quest games, especially the old Nintendo ones. I know I'm going to like it. I'm going to power through it, but I'll trade it in. I always trade in my games pretty much right away towards something else I want, because if I ever want to play it again, especially if it's a bigger release like this, it'll come down to $20 eventually if there's any DLC. Yeah. So I've got that pre-ordered. I got Pokemon pre-ordered, but I don't know if I'm going to keep that pre-order. I have Pokemon in the ball, and I got it when there was like a 30% off Prime deal. And I'm holding on to it because they're sold out in case anybody else wants it if I don't want it.
You know what? Hold on to it because I may want it.
Yeah, so one of us will want it.
Because so, I'm actually getting outside now with my wheelchair and I can actually play Pokemon Go.
So it all depends. I might want it come November when it comes out. I leave that placeholder. I didn't have to put any money down on it. But I've got a few others pre-ordered that I'm not sure if we're going to get review copies on. But if I don't, I'll cancel it. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I've got Starlink, which I'm concerned that they haven't announced any of the other toys for it, but they did say the toys aren't necessary to beat it at all. They're not even integral. They're just like, you'll get everything, every power you get from the toys, you'll get digitally in the game without having to pay for it and without having to work really hard for it. So it's just sort of a nice little visual. But so I'm hoping that when they do announce more of the toys, they're going to be higher quality. Maybe you pay $25 for each one.
I'm surprised we haven't even seen a leak yet.
Of any of the toys. It's only the bundles.
The R-Wing, yeah.
The R-Wing and the main toy. So I'm like, okay, even if I don't want to get any of the other toys, I do like having the R-Wing. Like, you can't really trade the game in without having the main thing.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be a bad idea just to have that game and it'll be part of my collection forever. I've got that pre-ordered and it's almost paid off. And then I've got anything else later after that? Pokemon that. I've sort of held off on pretty much anything else because there's nothing else really in the fall I'm not going to get for that. I whatever I get for review is whatever I get for review.
Yeah,
I don't really have must buys in the fall.
For me, my ones I have on pre-order right now, I have Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which I'm really looking forward to. Red Dead Redemption 2,
which is probably going to get pushed back.
Which will probably get pushed back
because it always is.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4, I should get a review copy for, because I'm the COD guy here.
And Spider-Man,
that's a game, if I don't get for review, the chances of me getting it are pretty good, but I'm not count, because that game is likely going to sell itself, we may not get a review copy, but I'm excited for that.
And Just Cause, maybe?
No, actually Resident Evil 2.
Okay.
Resident Evil 2, I am stupid excited for.
And I know, you had said maybe we might get Spyro.
Yeah.
There's a few other, like, I think it's hard to tell. You sort of, sometimes you just get sent whatever they send you, random companies. Or you can, you know, request a copy if it's not something stupid. Certain companies are obviously, if it's going to sell itself, like Nintendo's not going to give up Pokemon because
they
know it's going to sell. They don't need reviews of Pokemon.
Yeah, they know Kotaku and IGN and Polygon's going to cover it.
Yeah.
They don't need us.
A lot of the games that I have pre-ordered that I've got, you know, zero money down on are ones that we might get from, like, Atlas, or if it's an RPG, generally if it's not Square Enix, you're pretty much guaranteed to probably get a copy of something.
Yeah.
So, and if not, they're never, like, a big deal if I don't get it to review. I can always wait till it comes down cheaper and pick it up.
Yeah.
So, I can't think of anything else that Nintendo is pushing. Oh, sorry, I've got Mario Party pre-ordered.
Yeah.
Because I figure nobody else I know wants to buy it, but I know everybody wants to play it. So I'm like, okay, if all my friends are getting Smash, I'll get the Mario Party title.
Yeah, and that'll be something we'll probably play here.
Yeah, hell yes.
Yeah, because, you know, you can only play Jackbox so many times.
What do you have pre-ordered right now?
Monster Hunter World for
that's
PC.
It?
That's it. For PC, that's it.
And that comes out very, very soon.
Yeah. So
August 9th, so by the time you're listening to this, it might almost even be out.
Yeah, so probably, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just... And for us trying to juggle that with us becoming more and more tabletop gamers.
I have more fun with tabletop than video games.
Like, I'm the guy that would have normally pre-ordered probably 2 titles per month of something I'd be interested in. And now, again, because we get reviews, whether they be indie titles or larger titles, it's, you know, I've got a few things on the go. I've got Banner Saga I'm working on. I've got that Crash for the Switch. Which, again, that's not a review of is the game good. We know whether or not it's good. It's just, is the port good? So that's like a very quick review. I don't have to go through every minute detail. Does it play like the PS4 version? That's pretty much what it is. And that's as far, I think that's all the reviews I have on the go that aren't movie-based. I've shifted more now to more
games,
to more movie releases and stuff that I've got to go through. So it comes in waves. Like, in 6 months, I might get way more into gaming again.
I'm waiting for Broketober, because I know that'll be a thing.
And there's obviously a few titles. And there's stuff that Nintendo obviously hasn't announced. Like, they're holding back some titles. We don't know what's happening in the fall with their online thing. We know there's going to be
Yoshi or whatever.
A Direct should be, what, beginning of September? End of August?
Yeah, coming up pretty soon.
And that the Direct will have to do with what the...
Holiday.
Here's your Q4, boom.
Well, no, it's going to be online. What are they going to do? Because they still haven't brought it out. It's a year and a half late. It was supposed to launch in, like, the spring of last year. Then it was the fall. Then it was January. And then it was this fall. So we don't know what's happening there. I have a prediction. When it launches, I don't know if they're going to do the GameCube stuff right away. Because I think they have to wait until the memory card prices come down so that you can download a lot of other titles. Like, they can't release a ton of titles at once because they'll run out of space. People can't buy all the games. So I have a 200 gig card. My brother just bought a 400 gig card.
Jesus. And
he got it on Prime Day, so he only paid like $115, which is half price. But we're not at this point now where, like, unless they announce, hey, that internal on your Switch, that USB 3 is going to actually work at USB 3 instead of USB 2. And by the way, if you have it plugged in, we can install games to it. Unless they do that, it's not like it's going to be easy for people to just plug in a terabyte drive and download games to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they announce with online services that we're going to get you GameCube and Wii titles or something, or Wii U titles, whatever, games that don't have a ton of motion, or even if they do have motion, we have the Joy-Cons are good for it. We could do that. Well, they can't really announce more than like one or two titles at a time that are over a couple gigs, or it's just a waste. So my prediction is in September, whenever they do their Direct, if they announce a new title that's going to be ported over, or at least it's going to come to Switch, they're probably going to announce more titles that are cart-based, similar to how they brought over Toad Treasure Tracker. Well, the Toad game, I found it is on the same engine as Super Mario 3D World. And I never got to play it. I played maybe 10 minutes of it on my brother's Wii U. And that is a game that didn't require the screen to work. So they could easily port it over. It uses an engine that they've already ported over now. And that is a game they could charge $80, and it would sell 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times what it sold on the Wii U. And I want to play as a Cat Mario.
Cat Mario. Actually, Blair beat that game before I did.
Because it was cats.
Yeah, because it was cats.
So look, I could totally see them doing a lot more ports from the Wii U rather than on the digital store. It'll be like physical carts. Because no matter what, they will sell more now than they did initially. So we still haven't heard about what's happening with that Shin Megami Tensei game from Atlus. Atlus was silent, had almost nothing to show at E3. So don't be surprised if we get a Tokyo Mirage Sessions announcement or another Xenoblade, because, or like the port of the Wii U version or the original. We're probably going to start to see more like Wii remasters over on there, because that's the way to get around it, is they put out a physical cart. You don't have to download it.
I'd be happy if they... What was the game that had the character named Travis Touchdown? No More Heroes. I'd be happy if they ported that.
Well, they'll probably do a port of both first two, because they did Bayonetta 1 and 2 together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would totally be down with
that. And the third game of that's coming out soon. So there's a lot of these. I think what they're going to start doing is more compilations of previous generations. Like, it would be wicked to see, I don't know, a couple titles from the GameCube come over. Or see, a lot of these companies put out, let's say, like they had Evolution 1 and 2, which were RPGs on the GameCube. Put out Skies of Arcadia as a digital download.
Yeah, it would sell. So that's pretty much what we have to say here on this month's prototype topic. What are your thoughts on it? Are we being too tough on certain games? Are there any games you'd recommend for us? Am I a pussy for giving up on Dragon Age?
You are.
Let me know. Thank you. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net or call the voicemail line 817-717-7202. Definitely want to hear from you on there. As always, the social media at thisweekingeek, at birdmandodd. Going around the room, starting with Alex.
Starting with Alex. Alex, and you're my pussy, don't worry.
Oh, boy. Your social media is, if people want to get a hold of you?
Oh, me, at Turner Treasure. You can find me on all the interwebs.
Yeah.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Tristopher. All one word, MR.
And do not forget to check out Tristan's YouTube channel. His subscribers are starting to pick up.
He's 350.
He's probably the best WoW person I know. He's the only one who makes it accessible.
You're the only person that doesn't sound... I gotta be PC.
You don't talk down to people. You don't, like that.
And you don't mince words. You don't repeat things. Like, they do the double talk where they say, like, one way, and then in a minute they say the same thing, but three different ways.
Yeah, there's a lot of push on YouTube to make a video 10, 15 minutes so you get extra ad revenue in there, and I don't care.
Or they sound like they're just talking off the top of their head over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You sound concise. You sound like... Here's your quickie minute. Here's what you need to know.
Yeah, you
get in, get out. I got a buttery smooth voice. I want to make love to your mouth. That's basically what you sound
That's
like.
A little much.
But it's
it's still a compliment, so I'll take it. Exactly. I'll take the love to the
you
mouth.
You take it.
Being able to put the information that you clicked on the video for in as short a format as I can is the main goal of the channel. I'm so sick of all these videos that take 30 60 seconds.
Here,
two minutes.
We're
to
the
get
Sportster.
To the point.
We're gamer this. We're da 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 da.
Here's half a music video for my intro. Like,
we
no.
Smash that subscribe button.
There's
and
no
watch.
Need for that shit.
Or it's always like, it's, you know, would you like to win all this stuff? Enter this contest. And like, fuck you, you don't have anything to give anybody. You're probably not going to give anything out.
There was a channel that I used to watch pretty regularly about Star Wars trivia and such. It was pretty cool. And then all of a sudden they got into doing giveaways every single video, and I stopped watching. I unsubscribed. I didn't care about. I didn't want to waste the first minute of every video going. Which lightsaber do you want? No, I don't want it. Well, I want a lightsaber.
People that get suckered into that are people usually in like South America. It's not generally people in the market that they're giving it out in. It's people that think they can get it in the middle. Like, nobody's going to ship your shit. You know how much it costs to ship things internationally? It costs more than the product's worth.
And now we're in a trade war, so let's watch out. That doesn't really affect you mailing stuff, but
I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but it's more money to ship things weirdly within Canada than it, like if I want to ship something to Toronto from here, it'll cost me more than it does to ship to New York.
Yeah, it's true. I do a lot of shipping.
Man.
So.
It'll cost you $25 to ship something to Toronto that will cost you $15 to ship to the States.
Figure that one out.
Yeah.
All right, guys, so until next time for the prototype, we have been
us.
Mike, Ike, fucking, I've been me. Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Mike the Ike Dodd.
Mike the Ike. Mike and Ike. Great candy. Until next time, folks, we'll see you next time. So until next time here on the prototype, I'm so tired.
Tally-ho!
Tally-ho, motherfucker.
See you next time.
See you next time. Boom, 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 boom